This morning into Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. And as the kids are going down, we'd like to welcome everyone out this morning and trust you've come seeking for God to minister to your heart. He still saves old sinners. Many of you know that I've asked prayer for a friend of mine for years that God would save him. And he wound up having a stroke this week and wound up in the hospital. And they said on a scale of 1 to 30, the stroke he had on Thursday was a 2. He had another stroke on Friday that they said was a 21. And they moved him from there down to University of Maryland. And he had a massive brain hemorrhage Friday night, and they done 3 surgeries yesterday, and he's essentially has no cognitive reaction, virtually brain dead. His wife has prayed for his salvation for 50 years. And Friday, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. God still saves old sinners. Some people say, well, I don't believe in deathbed repentance. I do. The thief on the cross found Jesus in his dying moment and in his dying hour found salvation. Rich's profession of faith was heartfelt, it was real, and it was in earnest because he knew in his heart that he was dying. Here shortly there will be meeting with the hospital staff to determine essentially whether to remove life support. They told us late last night that where he was is where he was going to be. I told the family, I think where he's at is where he wants to be. I think he's done left the building. Amen. He's done rejoicing in the glory world. He's done went on to be with Jesus. And then Wednesday night we got home and we got a phone call that my wife's aunt, Joy, and some of the folks here in the church knew Debbie's family, Joy and George, Joy Seymour. We've been asking prayer for her. She'd been dealing with cancer and she passed away on Wednesday evening to be having her funeral. Service graveside at Darlington Cemetery tomorrow afternoon. But God saved her many years ago. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God saves old sinners. Amen. And I'm glad He gives us all the opportunity to come to that saving knowledge. He gives us the hope and the peace that that salvation brings. Everybody says, oh, it's such a horrible time of year for this to happen. But when God's gift of salvation has been delivered, when God's gift, you know, I like that song, It Had to Be Love. One of these days we're going to do that somehow or another. If the choir don't do it, we're going to do it as a quartet. But it said, a gift is just a gift. A gift is not a gift until it's been received. Yes. Amen? Amen? God has sent His gift of love into this world for the express purpose of saving old sinners. Amen? Amen? And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He wants to save you. Amen. He wants you to know that He loved you enough to give you the very best that that could ever be offered, the very best that could ever be given. He give you heaven's greatest treasure that you might have eternal life. God saves old sinners. I'm glad that He does. I remember when Brother Stanley left church the week before he got saved, he had a quiver in his voice and he said, Brother, don't stop praying for me. Don't give up on me. I said, I can't give up on you because Jesus never gave up on you. And praise God, next Sunday, a 75-year-old man found out that God still saves old sinners. Amen. Brother Craig Edwards was here, and he preached his heart out in our revival back in the spring. And when he was here, he was a blessing. And my granddaughter, after service, one night, said, I want to get saved. She found out that God saves old sinners. Even though they might only be 8 years old, God saves old sinners. Amen. I'm glad this morning that he sent us his precious son. And that we can have the hope. We can have the reason to rejoice at Christmas. Though the death angel has passed our way, and the death angel comes and he tries to dim our joy, that God saves old sinners. And we can rejoice in that. We can find peace and happiness in that. If you found Matthew chapter 2, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, if you're able. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called these wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Brother Jim Cato, would you lead us in prayer? This morning, we need a desire and a determination in our heart to get rid of all the man-made things and to come to worship Jesus. Amen. To come and to uplift him. To come and to give glory unto him. Paul said, look, he said, when I came unto you, he said, I didn't come with excellency of speech and enticing words. He said, I didn't try to flatter you with my knowledge and my abilities. He said, but what I came to you with was Christ Jesus. I preached Christ and him crucified. I preached Christ lifted up. I preached Christ first and foremost. And church this morning, any place you go that's wrapped up in anything else other than lifting up Jesus, you're in the wrong place. Amen. Because you're in a man-made situation. You're in a man-made deal. They didn't come to see Herod and all his splendor and his majesty. They didn't come to see Herod and his court and his kingly apparel. What they came was to see the real king. They wanted the real deal. You know what the world needs today? They need the real deal. Amen. We don't need no more of this imitation Christianity. We don't need no more of this imitation worship. We don't need any more of this imitation man-made dribble that's coming across the pulpits in America. We need the truth of the Word of God. The truth is that we're a bunch of no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinners that deserve to be in hell. But praise God, Christ died for our sins. He rose for our justification. He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession on our behalf. And if you seek that out and you believe that and you find that, praise God, you found the greatest treasure and the greatest gift that the world has to offer. Jesus is all we need. You know, Herod was mighty and big. My buddy Rich, I had to deal with him here for a little bit. Guys that know him, some guys here know him. He was the strongest man I've ever known in my life. He's my size. Guy at work still talks about the time Rich picked a 55-gallon drum of oil up and carried it across two tracks to a machine. He picked me up and carried me when I got hurt, like I was a little child's baby doll. The strongest man I ever knew. The absolute hardest man I ever knew. I mean, he was hard as nails. He must have been chipped from granite. He could climb a tree like a squirrel. But he could lay that hammer down on something. And I'm talking about that fist. And he could literally destroy it and crush it. His hand was twice the size of mine. His retirement ring, when I slipped it on my finger, would just fall right back off. It's this big around. A mighty, mighty man. He was a good man. A funny man. A friendly man. But you know what? He needed Jesus. Amen. And he come to the realization that he wasn't big enough. He wasn't bad enough. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't witty enough. He wasn't anything enough to face eternity without Jesus. And let me tell you something, friends. The world is offering us everything. Religion. Religion won't do a thing but send you straight to hell. Amen. They offer you self-improvement and self-adoration. Let me tell you something. You can puff yourself up. Man, old Herod, he got all puffed up one time, and they said, it's a god, it's a god. They were trying to impress him, and man, it just made him so proud. And the Bible says, and the worms devoured him immediately. Amen. Don't think that you're going to lift yourself up and be something. What you need is Jesus. Amen. When it came time to seek out what was real, those wise men had enough sense to look for Jesus. Amen. You can go out now. You see all kinds of ads, and man, I tell you what, I get all kinds of ads on my computer from this. They got imitation this and imitation that, and all kinds of imitation diamonds and imitation gold jewelry and all kinds of imitations out there. Let me tell you something, the world is filled with imitations. But there's one real Jesus. The world is filled with false hope, imitation hope. But there's only one real hope. His name is Jesus. And the problem with Jesus is it troubles people who are wrapped up in religion, who are wrapped up in themselves, and who don't want to give what they have and who they are and what God has blessed them with unto Jesus. Look at verse number 3. Look what immediately happens when they come looking for the king of the Jews. They come looking for the one that's been born, the one that's the real deal. And verse number 3 says, and when Herod had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Amen. You know what's bothering the world today about Christians? Is we've got the truth. Amen. You know what's bothering the world today about fundamental Baptist churches is we're preaching the truth. You know what bothers the world today is when truth becomes the light and truth becomes the norm and truth begins to shine itself forward. It begins to reveal the sin. And when the sin begins to be revealed, then praise God, folks get troubled. Amen. Why was Herod troubled? Because the king, the rightful king, the real king, the God-sanctioned, God-authorized king had been born. It troubled old Herod. Why was all Jerusalem troubled? Because they were all wrapped up in their religious formalism.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus told them point blank, you've done turned the word of God around. You're done preaching lies as truth. You're done trying to pass off something that you have made up as being the truth of God's word. And when the real king would take his place, when the real king would sit on his throne, they knew he wasn't going to put up with that nonsense and that garbage. And it troubled them. What troubles the world today? They're fine as long as we got religion. Amen. You can have any religion you want. Amen. Now, my brother's a Mason. Some of y'all in here might be Masons. If I offend you, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm trying to pierce your heart. Amen. And so him and some of his friends have tried to get me to join the Masons. They said, well, all you got to do is believe in God. I said, well, tell me what God. Well, it don't matter. Yes, it does. Amen. Yes, it does. You just got to believe in God. I said, what God? It doesn't matter. You can believe in any God. Just as long as you say you believe in God, you can be a Mason. Am I right? Now that's what they told me. And I'm not trying to offend you. But let me tell you something. There's only one God.
Amen.
Amen. There's only one mediator between man and God. There's only one door and one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. Got religions that try to tell us, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this to get saved. You get baptized, you're saved. Baptism never saved anybody.
Right.
Amen. Some people say, well, you got to ask Jesus to save your soul and then you got to be anointed with the Spirit and you got to speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't say that. That's all man-made. And the problem with man-made, it gets offended when it stands in the light of the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care if it's religion. I don't care if it's organization. I don't care if it's government. Praise God. The truth will trouble the world when they realize that the truth comes directly from the throne of God. Amen. Now, I don't say things, and I didn't say that to offend anybody, but the truth will stand when the world's on fire.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you here might come from other churches, other denominations. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. And I want you to understand that the truth troubles. The truth causes some turmoil. But listen. Look down in verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, in Sunday school this morning, you know what we was studying about? Walking in the light.
Amen.
Amen. You walk in the light, you won't stumble.
Amen.
Amen. But you walk in the darkness and you're going to stumble. And let me tell you what, if you stumble enough, eventually you're going to fall.
Amen.
Amen. They found joy when they saw the star and that they could follow the star. You know why? They'd been following the light all the way to Jerusalem. And when they saw the star, it brought joy because the star was going to lead them to truth. The star was going to lead them to where the king that was born, the king of the Jews, was laid and where he was born. It was going to take them to the place where they wanted to be. And friend, you can walk in darkness. You can walk in your own frame of mind. You can walk in what you think, feel, and believe. But until you walk in the truth, you'll never walk without stumbling.
Amen.
Amen. And the only way you're going to walk in the truth is to walk in that word.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet." It says it's a light unto my path. The Bible tells us when we walk in the light that we don't stumble. And praise God, the only way you're going to have joy in your life is to walk in the light.
Amen.
Amen. They found joy of walking in the light. But you know, where does joy come from? It comes from God.
Amen.
It's God's to give. It's God's to bestow. He tells us that entrust in Him and in depending on Him, and in walking with Him, we find joy. Amen? Because we walk in the light. We walk according to His word. We walk according to His plan. Or we walk according to what thus saith the word of God. And we find there's joy in the journey. We find there's joy in life. But we got to remember that that joy still comes from God.
Amen?
We see our time belongs to God. We see the truth belongs to God. It's not our truth, it's God's truth.
Amen.
It's not our church, it's God's church.
Amen.
It's not our way, it's God's way.
Amen.
And it's not our light that we're trying to shine, but we're trying to shine the light of the gospel.
Amen.
We're trying to lift up Jesus. We're trying to lift Him up. He said, "If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Let me tell you something. I can't do a thing for you, but point you to Jesus.
Amen.
You know what a saved man can do for a lost man? He can tell him about Jesus.
Amen.
You know what a righteous man can do for an unrighteous man? He can tell him about Jesus.
Amen.
You know what a walking man can do for a stumbling man? He can tell him about Jesus. You know what a man that has sight and a man that can see can do to a blind man spiritually? He can point him to Jesus, because Jesus is the light, and Jesus will reveal all that he needs to know in his life.
Amen.
I don't have to be the Holy Spirit. It ain't my job. It's my job to point him to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It's my job to tell him where to go. It's my job to use the light of the gospel to show them how to get there. When they found and they saw the star, they found joy. Let me say something about this star. Now, I've seen things about how the star was a conjecture of these planets and this all happening and all coming together. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash. Don't need to be taught in a Baptist church. I'm going to tell you exactly why I have come to that conclusion. Because that theory and that story does not line up with the gospel account of that Christmas star. Now, you can conjecture all these planets and you can do this and do that all you want to. But the Bible says right here specifically that they followed the star. And when they got to Jerusalem, they were looking for Jesus. But why did they stop at Jerusalem? Where was the star?
Amen.
When they were told to go to Bethlehem, then they saw the star. Well, if it's a conjecture of the planets, it's not just going to disappear. But then let me tell you this. It said the star came to the house where the Christ child was born and stood over that house.
Amen.
No conjecture of the planets goes to a specific house and stands over that house.
Amen.
Now that star could have hung over the whole area of Bethlehem over the hills of Judea. And of all the houses, the thousands of houses in all of Judea, the hundreds of houses in all of Bethlehem, how could they have went to one specific house if it had been a celestial phenomenon? Amen? The star stood directly over the house when Jesus was born. Now it amazes me that there are people in our Baptist churches who will argue about a literal seventh-day creation, but can't accept the fact that that star was a celestial miracle sent from God.
Amen.
To stand over that house in Bethlehem. Just thought I'd throw that in there for you. Because God just burdened my heart about that. There is no happenstances with God. God is direct and to the point. And He's so specific. And when they were come to the house, amen. What house? Back in verse 9. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. There's a testimony in what they have done. There's a testimony in their reactions. There's a testimony that speaks of where their hearts were and where their gifts have come from. They opened their treasures. Amen. They opened their treasures. How many of you are willing to open the treasures of your heart and give them to Jesus? Amen. They said they opened their treasures and given to Him gold. Now, some of you have heard this before, some have not, so I'm going to preach about these three gifts.
Amen.
Amen. The gold. Why gold? Gold was the gift for a king. Amen. They didn't give it to Herod. You notice they didn't drop it off in Jerusalem. Amen. They brought it on to Bethlehem. Why? Because they were coming to see the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. They were coming to see the one who was rightfully born, the King of the Jews. They brought their gold and their gifts unto Jesus. Praise God. If you'll open your heart and give to Jesus what's due Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, praise God, you'll find out that you'll never outgive Him.
Amen.
Amen. And you can never outbless Him. Amen. Because He does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. They open their treasures and they give unto Him gold. And then they give unto Him frankincense. Why frankincense? Because it was the gift of the priest. It's what the priest used in his daily ministration before the Holy of Holies, before God, is what was required at every sacrifice. It was sprinkled upon the sacrifice, the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. It was sprinkled upon the showbread that was even set before the Holy of Holies and the holy place. It was what was needed and what was required for the priest to fulfill his priestly duties. The Bible says we have a great high priest. Amen. He's not like any other priest. He's the great high priest. Christ. He's not a priest from among men. Praise God. He's a priest from the glory world. He's not a priest that's fallible. He's not a priest that can fail. He's not a priest that needs to be replaced from year to year. He's a priest that does an eternal work, has an eternal ministry, has an eternal power. Over in Hebrews, it says we have priests among men, and they die, and they fail, and they fall off, and they need to be replaced from year to year. But praise God, we have a great high priest that fadeth not away. We have a great high priest that ministers on our behalf before the throne room of our heavenly Father. We have a great high priest that has given everything, offered the greatest sacrifice with the sweetest aroma that has ever ascended into the glory world when he laid his own life down on an old rugged cross, and he died for your sins and mine, that we might not have to go to that place called hell and split it wide open, but praise God, could enter into the joys of our Savior.
Amen.
They recognized not only his kingship, but they recognized his priesthood. Aren't you glad the real king is not just the real king? The real king is also the real high priest.
Amen.
And what was the third gift? It was the gift of myrrh. The gift of myrrh. The gift that recognized not only was he a king and a priest, but he was a sacrificial lamb. See, the gift of myrrh was used to anoint and to embalm the bodies of the dead, to prepare them for burial. John, seeing Jesus coming, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He wasn't just a king. He wasn't just a great high priest. But he's the perfect sacrifice. He was God's gift. He was God's lamb. He was God's sacrifice that was offered on the old rugged cross to pay the debt of sin that mankind owed. He paid my sin debt. He gave me that gift, a gift that I couldn't supply myself. He offered that gift, an offering that I could do nothing with for myself. And as a king, when God had sent the plague through Israel, because David had numbered Israel, he told David to go down to the threshing floor of Araunah and buy it and offer a sacrifice, or to offer a sacrifice there. But David went and he told Araunah, he said, "I want to buy your threshing floor." And Araunah said, "No, I'll give it to you." And the Bible says, and as a king, he gave it to David. The problem was, Araunah wasn't a king. The problem was that Araunah hadn't been commanded to offer the sacrifice David had. You know, the problem is, I've not been called to die on a cross. I can't do a thing for you. I might be able, if I was in the Secret Service and Billy was the president, I'd take an oath that I'm going to jump in front of the danger and take a bullet for him, if I like him. Amen. And I can give maybe my life to protect Billy, but Billy's still prone to attack. Amen. I can't do a whole lot. I might be able to help one person out in one little instance, but that's all that I can do. You see, I'm not a savior. You see, I'm not a sacrifice. You see, I'm not able to do what Jesus has done. And I can try as a savior to jump in front of Billy. I can try as a king to give him what he needs, but I'm not. Churches are telling people, well, if you get baptized, you baptize your little baby, and they're going to go to heaven. That's not the sacrifice that Jesus said was required. Jesus said the wages of sin is death. Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, an individual can do nothing for you. Religion can do nothing for you. The only one who can do anything for you is Jesus. Why? Because he's the rightful king. He's the rightful priest. He's the rightful sacrifice. And only he can meet the need that you have. And only he can bring deliverance. Only he can bring hope. And only he can bring help. But you see, the problem is that all these gifts, all these treasures that they brought to Jesus didn't belong to them. It all belonged to God. It was all his. Over in the book of Haggai, God says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. We got to get it in our frame of mind that what we have doesn't belong to us, that what we have God has allowed us to borrow. But the Bible says they brought him a gift. What was that gift? It's the only thing that belongs to you. The only thing that God allows you 100% complete and total control over. And that gift is your heart, your soul. You alone make the decision of whether you'll go to heaven or whether you'll go to hell. You alone make the choice. See, we got all kinds of choices in this world, but eternity has two. Yeah. Amen? Eternity has two. And God allows you to choose between which eternity you experience. The only thing that God has given you completely is your heart. The Bible said there that they knelt down and they worshiped him. Why did they spend all their time? Because he had their heart. Why did they go through all the trouble to travel all the way to Bethlehem? Because he already had their heart. Why were they determined and diligent and seeking Jesus? Because he had their heart. And let me tell you something. If he has your heart, you'll have a desire to be near him. You'll have a desire to be close to him. You'll have a desire to seek him out. You'll have a desire to know more about him. I tell you what, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in people that don't have a heart for Jesus and say they're Christians. Amen. Amen. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in folks. Now, we've been talking in Sunday school and looking at the Word of God. And the Word of God, it puts some just a very plain litmus test out there. If you say that you're a child of God, and you don't walk in the light, it says you are a liar. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving everybody around you. Why? Because if God had your heart, you're going to rejoice in the light. Amen. You're going to walk in the light. You're going to follow the light. You're going to seek the light, just like those wise men did. And wherever that light takes you is where you're going to be. You know where that light's going to take you? You get in the Word of God, you know where it's going to take you? It's going to take you right to the foot of Jesus. It's going to take you right to the throne room of glory. It's going to take you right to where you need to be. This Christmas, you can give gifts to everybody you want to. You can give gifts to your children, your parents, your friends, your loved ones, whoever you want to. You can receive gifts. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you can exchange gifts with Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Amen. You can give Him your heart.
Amen.
And He'll give you eternal life. Give Him your heart, and He'll give you salvation. Give Him your heart, and you'll be amazed at the great gift that He gives you. If you're here this morning, you're backslidden. You're not walking in the light. Give Him your heart. That's why you're in darkness. You haven't given Him your heart. Give Him your heart this morning. Let Him have everything that there is about you. Everything that He's blessed you with. You know, the reason they brought their great gifts that they brought was He already had their heart. If He's got your heart, He'll have everything else. Amen. If He's got your heart, He'll have your money. Amen. He'll have your gold. If He's got your heart, He'll have your religion, your desire to worship Him. If He's got your heart, praise God, He'll have your life in His very hands. He'll have it all. Everybody wants it all. But the only one who can give it all is Jesus.
Amen.
And this morning, it's a great time to get things right. It's a great time to get things in perspective. And give to Jesus the gift that's due Him. So I ain't got time for that. Oh yeah, you do. Because time all belongs to Him. I'm not sure about that. Oh yeah, you are. Because I just preached the truth to you. And I can take the Word of God and I can show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I've preached this morning is truth. You can try to find joy, but you won't find it nowhere else. Because joy can only be found in Jesus. There's pleasure in sin for a season. You might find some joy in the things of the world, but it doesn't last. But Jesus will last for all of eternity. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you something. One way or the other you will acknowledge. The problem is whether you want to acknowledge it, why He's given us the light, why He's given us the guide to follow to bring us to that place, or whether we want to do it before we hear those fateful words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. One way or the other. You will acknowledge that He is God. You will acknowledge that He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You will acknowledge that He's above everything. But all He wants is your heart. If He has your heart, He'll have everything else. As we stand at our feet this morning,